God's word in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. And we will read the whole chapter, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. This is God's holy, infallible word. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For there is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with the water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. May the Lord bless these words to our souls tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we listen to God's word. Our Heavenly Father, to whom else shall we go? And the word of eternal life is with you. Open our eyes and our hearts to see wonderful things in your word. In the strong name of Jesus we pray. Amen. When we read the Gospels, we understand that not all the events of Christ's life is recorded in the Gospels. Not even all the events of his ministry are recorded in the Gospel. John said, if we wrote everything, books and books will not be enough to write what he has done, what he has said. And even when you read the Gospels, we find sometimes some stories are mentioned in one Gospel, and the other does not refer to it. For instance, the Samaritan woman, we only read about her in John's Gospel. When it comes to the prodigal sons, we only read of them in Luke's Gospel, and so forth. So not all the events are written in the Gospels, and even the Gospels, they did not record exactly the same. Every writer has his own theological agenda that he was communicating. However, all of them are called the Gospels. And all of them are communicating one good news. And part of this good news, certain events. If you follow the Gospels, you'll see some events that are mentioned in all of them. Christ's life, Christ's ministry, Christ's death, which takes the majority of each of the Gospels, Christ's resurrection, and the calling for repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And the event that I just read today is one of these events in Christ's life, which is recorded in the four Gospels. And when we even read in the book of Acts, what is the Gospel, for instance, in Acts 10, we know that this element was an important element in Jesus' life and ministry. The baptism with John the Baptist. Whenever the Gospels were preached, whenever the Gospels were read, John the Baptist is mentioned. This is a very important event in Christ's ministry. And today we'll try to see why did the four Gospels were keen or are keen to record this event that Jesus was baptized. Why? First, let's look at John the Baptist, this unique character. In the Gospel of Matthew, he suddenly appears 30 years after the story of the birth of Christ. We don't have much to be said in the first 30 years of Christ, except his birth, maybe the visit to the temple when he was 12 years old in the Gospel of Luke, his escape to Egypt when escaping from Herod. Not much has been said. And the birth of John the Baptist, we don't read about it in the Gospel of Matthew, but in the Gospel of Luke. But we don't have much about the childhood and the teen aging time of John the Baptist or Christ. But here, Matthew is telling us, almost after 30 years of Christ's birth, here's John the Baptist. And he comes as a prophet. And this was a great thing for Israel. Four centuries, the people of God had no prophet, no word from God. Since the time of Malachi, they have no words. And they have been gone through wars, persecution. Their temple was even not consecrated as it should be because of what the Greek has done to them. The Greek entered the temple and brought abomination to the temple. They had very hard times. And finally, the Lord is visiting them again through a prophet called John the Baptist. After a long time of waiting, oppression, silence from God. So when he came, he was the focus of the attention. Look what the text says in verse 5 and 6. What's happening when he starts to do his ministry? Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him. People are excited. What is this prophet? Finally, the Lord is talking to us again. So what was the nature of this man's ministry? What was he doing? Well, he was calling them to repent. A ministry of repentance. And he was doing it through something called baptism. Definitely, this was not a Christian baptism. It was not a baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist was not talking per se about the death and the resurrection of Christ. It did not happen yet. This was not the kind of baptism that John was doing. It's called the baptism of repentance. And when I say the word repentance, and as we'll see what John is saying, it's not just a mere change of the intellect or the intellectual change that I just changed my views or my ideas. John is speaking, or John's ministry was about a repentance that is a whole change of life. Where kind of a fundamental turnover is going around. It includes everything in our lives. Deeds, thoughts, emotions. And it includes also a kind of grief, someone who has grief in his heart because of his sins or her sins. A repentance that must bear fruit. That's why John himself was not happy when the Sadducees and the Pharisees came. They came for the wrong reasons. Well, they saw all the people going. This is a prophet. Let's go. How can't we go? What would the people say? We have to go. As religious leaders, they wanted to keep their prestige. And see what John is telling them in verse 7 and 8. Well, this is not what I'm talking about. He's telling them. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees in verse 7 coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, I'm not happy that you are coming. You are coming for the wrong reasons. This is not the repentance that I'm talking about. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. You are saying you are coming for this baptism for repentance, and your life doesn't show such a fruit. This is fake repentance." So his ministry was about true repentance. But the question is, why did he use baptism? Why water baptism? Why people would come to him at Jordan River to get baptized, and they connect this with repentance? Well, at that time, those who were getting baptized were the Gentiles. So for a Gentile, for someone who is not a Jew, who would like to join the people of God, he had to do three things. Confess that Jehovah is the true God of Israel. Get circumcised. And to be baptized. Which signified cleansing, washing from his sins. So the Jews understood what did baptism mean. It's for the Gentiles, these unclean people. If they'd like to join us, the clean people, they would come to the baptism. But the surprise here, this is the first surprise. The surprise here is that John is not calling the Gentiles to be baptized. He's calling the Jews to be baptized, as if he's telling them, you are not clean. You need to be cleansed. And as you come, you need to confess your sins. Confess that you are sinners and ask for forgiveness and cleansing. Even the place where John was doing this was significant. He was doing this at Jordan River. One of the things that was very significant in the Old Testament about Jordan River was the ministry of Elijah. His ministry ended at Jordan River. He was taken to heaven at Jordan River. And we read in the Old Testament that a prophet is coming, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Before the last days, before the coming of the Messiah, someone will do the ministry of Elijah, will be similar to Elijah. Elijah who was taken from at Jordan River. And now John the Baptist is coming at Jordan River to do this ministry. This is the day of the Lord. So this is a time of great repentance, preparation. The kingdom is coming. The king is coming. The battle is at hand. Repent. Get ready for the king. This was John's ministry for the Jews, for God's people. So far, everything looks normal. Fits well with the Old Testament in conjunction with the ministry of Elijah, with the prophets. It makes sense that these people who are sinners, who have not been following God's ways, are going to be baptized by John. But then, here comes Jesus, going to the same baptism. Why is he going? Why would he come to this place? How is that? He's the Holy One. He's the one who is free from all sin. How would he come? And John, in the beginning, said, no chance that you would come to be baptized. Earlier, John had difficulty baptizing the Pharisees and Sadducees. He thought they were not worthy of his baptism. But when Christ came, he wanted to prevent him as well, but for another reason. Because he said that my baptism is not worthy of you. You are greater of my baptism. I know sometimes when we read about the baptism of Jesus now in the 21st century, or even when we were in the 20th century, we read it as part of the gospel. Yes, Jesus went to be baptized, but at that time it was a big surprise, especially for someone like John, who understands very well what's going on. That's why he tried to stop him. And we don't know much details about the relation between John and Christ before this time. It seems that he knew him from this instant. He knew that he was holy. He knew that he was holier than himself, than John himself. John knew that he was a sinner, but Christ was not. Because he told him, "You should baptize me." And this was a great witness in itself to the sinlessness of Christ. Yet Christ insisted to be baptized. Before answering the question, why Christ did go to this baptism, we need to answer this question. What is the meaning of baptism? Why was this way, going to the water and coming out of the water, was used to express repentance? And we will not speculate. It's an Old Testament idea. And think of this, John the Baptist was not a New Testament prophet. He was an Old Testament prophet. And we have some Jewish people who wrote in the New Testament, who are Jews, and they knew the meaning of baptism, and they wrote about baptism, and they wrote about stories in the Old Testament, and they called them baptisms. One of these two Jewish people was the Apostle Paul, a Jew. He knows the Old Testament well, and he reminds us of a story in the book of Corinthians, the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 10, reminding us of something that happened in the Old Testament, and he called it baptism. If you can open with me 1 Corinthians 10, the first two verses. This is what Paul is saying. "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." So Paul was thinking of the people of Israel coming out of Egypt during the time of the Exodus, passing through the Red Sea, while the Egyptians were drowning in the same sea. And he called what was happening on this day, that them going through the sea, baptism. The other Jewish guy who also wrote about a story in the Old Testament and he called it baptism is Peter. So Paul wrote about baptism in the Old Testament, and Peter in 1 Peter 3 did the same, but with another story. In 1 Peter 3, verse 18, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through water." Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see what Peter is, what he's doing? He is calling the water of the flood water of baptism. He's calling what happened during the flood baptism. And who was baptized in this scene? It was Noah and his family. Going through the ark, they were baptized. So we have two baptisms in the Old Testament that the New Testament is referring to. Going through the Red Sea, Paul is teaching us about that, saying that this is baptism. And going through the water of the flood was another baptism. And in these two incidents, what was the water used for? Judgment. The water was judgment. in the Red Sea, the water, was the judgment against Pharaoh and his army. And during the flood, the water was judgment. So in baptism, we see God's condemnation, we see God's wrath. And at the same time, in these two instances, we see God's salvation. Salvation took place in these two stories. In the time of Noah, Noah and his family were saved. And in the time of the Exodus, the Israel and the people of Israel with Moses, they were saved through going through the water. So in these two judgments, the wicked people were judged, and God's people were saved by God-ordained means from God's wrath. Now, having this background in our mind, we go back to John's baptism. John's baptism was an expression of God's wrath. This is the meaning of water. I know sometimes we don't think of it like this. When we think of someone who's getting baptized, we don't think the water judgment or condemnation may not come to our ear. But this is the meaning of the water and how it is related to baptism. God made a covenant with his people, and they were unfaithful to this covenant. And John was calling them to repent, and he's saying, for you to repent, you come to be baptized. And for someone to go to John's baptism and to confess his sins, going to the water, he would be saying, I confess that I'm a sinner, a covenant breaker, and I deserve God's wrath. This was repentance. I confess that I deserve God's wrath. This was the meaning of the water. But again, in the light of all this, Jesus Christ, the sinless, the Holy One, is going to be baptized. And John is saying, no, no. But Jesus says, allow now, for we must fulfill all righteousness. So what was the meaning of Christ's baptism? What is the meaning for him to be baptized? He was not baptized for his own sins. He was baptized as a representative of his people. He was baptized as the suffering servant. In obedience to his Father, he was going to bear the sins of his people and to bear the wrath for their sins. The prophet Isaiah said these words about Christ hundreds of years before he came, in Isaiah 42. Listen to these words and tell me if you remember something, if you can make a connection or not. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I behold, my elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. These are the same words that the Lord himself, the Father, said from heaven for Christ. This is the one in whom I delight. And he is the one whom I will send my spirit on. Isaiah said, this is the suffering servant. He's the obedient servant. This was in Isaiah 42. But later on in Isaiah 53, he's speaking more about this suffering, obedient servant. In Isaiah 53, he would say, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He will be counted with sinners, with transgressors, the sinless one, the one who never broke God's law. The one who never, never stopped doing something that he should have done is going to the baptism of repentance, not for his own sake, but for his people's sake. He's obeying God's mission. That's why he's saying, allow now, we must complete all righteousness. We must fulfill all righteousness. Christ was baptized, our baptism. He was telling John, what I'm doing now, John, through this symbol, through this water, I will be doing in real one day. If I'm going now to this water that symbolizes God's wrath, one day I will go through God's judgment myself. Not because I sin. He's the one who knew no sin. But for the sin of his people, he was going to this water of judgment. Later on in the Gospels, we read that Christ called his death. He named his death baptism. One day, John and his brother, James, went to Jesus and asked for a bad request in Mark chapter 10. Would you open this with me? This is very important to see how Christ called his death. In Mark chapter 10, verse 35, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they came unto him, saying, Master, we would that you should do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would you like, or what you want me to do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and one on thy left hand in your glory. But listen to Jesus' answer. But Jesus said unto them, You not know what you are asking for. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of? And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And what he's talking about? His death. Christ called his death baptism. Baptism. So for Christ to go to the water, he was saying, I'm going for my people. I am representing my people going through the judgment, which he really did on the death of the cross. Now, how would this relate to us? What does this event mean to us today? Why are we reading about it? When Peter and Paul spoke about baptism in the Old Testament and link it to judgment, they said something very significant. When the people during the Exodus, or when the people during the time of Noah were saved, they were not saved because they avoided the judgment or the water, or they escaped from the water. In fact, they were saved through going through the water, right? God did not judge Pharaoh by the water, and Israel went in another way. Israel went through the water, but the water did not touch them. The same applies to Noah and his family. They were saved not by avoiding the flood. They went through the flood, but in the ark. And the same applies to us today. We can only be saved from God's judgment by going through it. And the only way to go through it without being judged ourselves is to go through Christ, the one who went through the judgment. If you don't go through Christ, you'll never be able to escape the judgment. No chance. There is no way out. As was the ark. The ark was the only way, right? And this was not just avoiding the judgment. You can say, you can sing, I am forgiven. Because I am in Christ. In Christ. This is the only way. There is no way to avoid God's judgment. Either you will go through it yourself, or you will go through it in Christ. And that's why Christ went through the judgment. But this judgment was not the only thing that is in the scene. When Christ went through the water and get out of the water, something significant happened. The Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove. and the heavens were opened. And when we read this, and when we think of the stories of the Old Testament, especially the story of the ark, we know what did the dove mean at that time, right? There was a peace after judgment is over. Peace with God. But there is not only peace and forgiveness of sins. There was a new creation. After Noah get out of the ark, get after the flood, after the judgment is done, we see the pronouncement of new creation. And the same happened with Jesus. For Jesus to go through the judgment and get out of the judgment, to rise again on the third day, he became the first citizen of the new creation. And all those who believe in him, even from now, they join the new creation. That's why Paul says, if anyone in Christ, he is or she is new creation. To be in Christ means that not just your sins are forgiven, but you are a new creation. This fruit of repentance in your life, what he has done has its effect on your life. This is what it means to be in Christ. Not just being forgiven, but also being a new creation. And a member of this new creation. I will close with these words from verse 9 in chapter 3. It's interesting that when the Pharisees and Sadducees went to him, to John, this is what he told him. Do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. John was telling them, do not rely on your identity as Jewish people. In today's world, do not rely that you are a member in a sound church, in a Reformed sound church. Just for being here doesn't say anything. It may mean something, but in itself, this is not the way we are saved. We are not saved because we are here. If we are saved, you are saved for one reason. For being in Christ. These people were called the sons of Abraham. They had the promises. They knew the scripture. But this is not enough. Your identity is not enough. Being in Christ is everything. Being in Christ is everything. In the time of Noah, the judgment came, and only those who were in the ark were saved. And one day, a greater judgment is coming. When Christ will come again, it will be a day of judgment. For all those who are outside of the ark, for all those who are not in Christ, not truly in Christ, will be judged. The only way to be saved from the coming judgment, which is coming, is to be in Christ. It will be the great day of joy for those who are in Christ, and the great day of terror for those who are not in Christ. And you can be in Christ from today. You can rejoice and sing, my sins are forgiven. Not because of my family or my membership, but because I'm in Christ. The one who went through the judgment, the one who knew no sin and became sin for us, so that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, we confess that we broke your law in our deeds and thoughts, in our words. We have no excuse before you but Jesus Christ, the one in whom we can only come in repentance, asking for forgiveness. We thank you for your provision, for your only begotten Son, whom you did not spare, but sent him to save sinners like us. We pray that we not only enjoy his forgiveness, but his new life would be in us. And we truly say that we are new creation, those who are waiting and longing for this day when you come again, those who will not be ashamed or in fear, but who will rejoice, saying we are saved by the Lamb of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.